May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. A new understanding from Romans chapter 6, our epistle lesson. Now, I've always liked this ad that appeared years ago in the Madison, Wisconsin paper, Capital Times. It read like this: "For sale, one used tombstone, splendid opportunity for a family named Dingle." D-I-N-G-L-E. Well, the ad piqued my interest. Why would you no longer need a tombstone that already had the name on it? And of all the possibilities, the most stunning would be that the deceased is no longer dead. Today I'm focusing on Christian baptism and perhaps giving you a new understanding of it. And as the Bible tells us here in Romans, baptism is a kind of a death. We who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. The way here Paul speaks of it, baptism, it's not statements that says that what we have done or what we should do, but it's statements that God is acting on us, doing something to us. When did we die? When we were baptized. Jesus said, "Make a tree good and the fruit will be good. A bad tree will produce bad fruit." But who has the power to make a tree good? Baptism is not just symbolism, although there is symbolism. Baptism is not something we do, and yet it compels us to do many things. That which baptism symbolizes, the drowning of the old person, actually happens when a person is baptized. In baptism, we are cemented to Jesus Christ. His death, our death. His rising again, our rising again. If you've been baptized, and I hope you have been, but if you haven't, baptism is not a suggestion, it is a command of God. He wants to bless us with it. Then please call me or email me, and we'll set up your baptism. If you don't know if you've been baptized, call me. Call, how did they do that? Call me. Text me. Email me. Whatever. And we'll set up your baptism. But if you've been baptized, then you must not live as if it never happened. Whether you were an infant or an adult, something really happened to you when you were baptized, and you need to accept it, and you need to live in it, and you need to understand its full meaning for you. So let's briefly take a closer look at our Romans passage for today. It starts with the problem of sin. Because of grace, somebody must have been saying this to Paul, because of grace, can't we just go on sinning? We're never going to be perfect, so why fight our evil desires if God's going to forgive us anyway? And Paul, in essence, shoots back. This is a satanic suggestion. It eliminates what Jesus did for us and how we're cemented to him. What did he do for us? He liberated us from the power of sin. How can a person fight against sin if they're a slave to sin? And yet we have been liberated. Baptism cuts the chains off of us. The chains that were a result of Adam's sin passed on to us. We all came into the world with chains on us. Baptism cuts the chains. If you were baptized as an infant, as I was, this happened to you before you had any understanding that it happened to you. It means that we need to learn about it. We need to grow in it and understand what happened to us when we were baptized, even though we don't remember it. When I was an infant, I had a big growth on my cheek. And it was a red growth, and it was growing. Now, I had surgery for it, and it was removed. I never knew that I had that, except there was a hole in my cheek for a good while, most of my life. It's kind of, you know, that's the only blessing of aging that I have. The hole has sort of disappeared or filled in, I don't know. You know, it's filled with wrinkles, I guess, you know, I mean, and all that. But I figured if I kept eating, it would go away, you know, puff out, right? But this happened to us. It happened to me. I baptized the infant. And now I have to learn that something really important happened. It was a divine surgery. A divine surgery that set me free to fight sin. Have you ever heard this old poem? To run and work, the law commands, yet gives me neither feet nor hands. But better news the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings. Like many of the truths of the Bible, they come to us beyond our understanding and yet give us a new perspective. How did I die with Christ? Such an abstract thought. How am I united with Him in a resurrection and newness of life? You don't have to figure out precisely how this works. Like so many things in the Bible, it tells us. You don't have to figure it out. You're invited to believe it and know that it's real, because it is. Though baptism is what God does, making us new, giving us a new identity, Christian, it also comes with a command and a challenge. Count yourselves dead to sin. These are the first imperatives, commands, in the book of Romans, with this chapter, chapter 6. Fight sin. You have been transferred onto Jesus' side, His team, away from Satan's team, away from the world's team. Fight sin. You are to love what He loves. You're to hate what He hates. You're on His team. Baptism is your identity. It cements you to Christ. It gives you the possibility of a better and new life. So you say, I'm baptized. So what now? Well, I think there's three things that I want to bring to your attention. First thing is, now that we're baptized, we need to recognize our sins and the futility of trying to improve ourselves without the power of the Holy Spirit. We live in a self-improvement age, and it's part of the great deception that can fall on people because it excludes Christ and the power of His Spirit. People are continually looking for recipes to help change their lives. But they're failing to recognize that their sins are the heart of every problem that we have. Our sins is what's causing us everything that needs to be improved and the problems that afflict us. And only Jesus can forgive us, can rectify, and heal us. There are too many who, like Lucy in the Peanuts comic strip, when Charlie Pran asks her, have you made any New Year's resolutions? And Lucy goes ballistic. She hollers back at him, knocking him off his feet. What? What for? What's wrong with me now? I like myself the way I am. Why should I change? What in the world is the matter with you, Charlie Brown? I'm right the way I am. I don't have to improve. How could I improve? How? How? I ask you how. Now, we may not be that dramatic. But we may have that same urge to say, what, me? And so we excuse our sins and justify them. Listen, I tell you, it's vital that you recognize your sins. Because in recognizing your sins, you want to run to Jesus and you really know what it means to have a Savior who forgives us, who really is the answer to the problems we have in life. So run through the Ten Commandments. Take stock of your life. Or better, like this, go to Galatians 6, beginning at verse 19. Let me read that to you. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 18. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Now let me ask you, are you in either one of those lists? I am. For instance, I've told lies. But I'm not a liar. Let me ask you this, and I want you to participate with me. Everyone who has told a lie, raise your hand. Okay. If anyone didn't raise your hand, you just did it today. And to make it even harsher a little bit, every guy in this room has committed adultery, according to Jesus' definition of adultery. If you've looked at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. Are you with me, guys? All right? But because of our baptism and because of the grace of God, we commit adultery, but we're not adulterers. We tell lies, but we're not liars. We sin, but we are not sinners. We must be willing to confront issues that we've avoided in the past. Repentance is not just having a bad feeling about our shortcomings. No, it's taking stock of our life and looking to Jesus' forgiveness and the power of the Spirit to resist and, yes, overcome some of these things. So, first of all, we recognize our sin. Secondly, that should issue from being a baptized Christian, is that after recognizing it, we fight against it. We fight against our sin, our particular sins, and we stand against it. Remember, we're on a different team. Because you are baptized, the power of sin is broken in your life, and you can fight it. You're empowered to say no. A common trap that we Christians slip into is to take sin casually. Oh, we're all going to sin, so I will just go along with it, and I'll depend on God to forgive me. But this is antithetical to what God tells us, what God says to us. Yes, we will never be sinless. We will never be sinless, but we can fight back because you see, the chains have been broken. Our arms are free, and we can take a swing at it. With the Spirit-granted muscles, we can wreak havoc on our sinful ways. We can. We can say no to adultery. We can say no to watching pornography. We can say no to jealousy. We can say no to envy, which I think is one of the great sins of our day. We can say no to hatred and discord, slander and greed. We fall to these things, but we get back up and we say, no, this is not going to characterize my life because I'm on a different team now. We can have victories over ingrained sinful habits and addictions. We can in Christ. We can have toxic relationships change because we're on a different team. And what I call the besetting sins of our life, and the besetting sins are those temptations and sins that are particular to us and maybe passed on to us. We can have victories over those things. So we recognize our sins and we fight against our sins. And the third thing is very important. As a baptized Christian, we need to daily rehearse who we are. We are beloved children of God. We are saved, forgiven, redeemed, justified, reconciled with the Father. We are His children. And He loves us immensely. But because of that, we have a responsibility as part of the body of Christ. Because you see, we always have the possibility of being a building block or a stumbling block to our fellow Christians and non-Christians. We should always be making it easier for people to remain Christians and to become Christians, not making it harder for them. We are baptized not into the Rotary Club. We are not baptized into the Boy or Girl Scouts, not baptized in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. You are baptized in Jesus Christ and into His church. We're on this team, and we have a responsibility to the team to uphold it and build it. I say to you, believers, baptized believers, you are a fruit tree made good. Now, because you are free, and because you are loved, because you are cemented to Jesus Christ, produce good fruit. Live in the newness of life in Christ. And if you can, every day maybe, say, I am baptized in Jesus Christ. And I'm on His team because it's true. In the name of Jesus and to His glory, amen? Amen. Amen.